Hi, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic here from the Medic Cast, and I'm here with my cohort of friends and fellow podcasters here, including Chris Montero from the EMS Garage. Hi, Chris.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well. And also Sam Bradley from the Disaster Podcast.
Hi, y'all.
So we're here for the first episode we're recording in the podcast studio at EMS World Expo 2015, and the floor is buzzing. There's already a ton of people walking around the booth already. We've got a lot of folks out there.
Yep. Absolutely, and it's it looks like another great show here in Las Vegas. I love coming back to Vegas, and next year New Orleans. So, I don't know. I'm pretty excited to see what's out there. I haven't really got a chance to walk around the booth much, but pretty excited about it.
I am too. Sam?
Absolutely. I have run into so many people already just standing right here that I didn't even realize we're going to be here, and I never got very far away. So, I'm really excited about who else I'm going to run into.
Well, it's nice because this year we're kind of in the middle, so we're not in the corner.
And there's so much cool stuff out there I want to get my hands on.
I know. There's a lot of cool stuff. We do want to remind you that we're here in the Physio Control Podcast Studio. We want to thank them again for their continued support of our podcasting efforts at these conferences. They make it possible for us to come here and bring a flavor of the conferences to everybody at home, and I think that's important for us to do. So, Sam, I'll ask you, what are you looking forward to here this week as you're here at the Expo? Is there something in particular you're looking for?
Well, I have not only two guests, I have two podcasts, but I have four sets of guests that I'm really excited about because they're subjects that I really want you all to hear about. But I don't even know what all else we have, but I know we always have some great guests on the show, and there's some amazing topics. And I'm just really excited to see everything that's we're going to put out this week.
Excellent. Nice. What about you, Chris?
Well, this week I'm bringing on some subject matter expert in the area of violence against paramedics. I think
it's going
to be good.
Wow.
And he's doing a talk here. He also does some tactical paramedicine, so that'll be kind of fun. And then we're going to tomorrow we'll have a guy on from the NHS talking about what they're doing over on the other side of the pond.
Cool. Wow. National Health Service in London.
I know.
Okay.
Very cool.
That's
how about
awesome.
You?
Well, I've got several things. I'm going to be talking to Brian Fass from Fit Responder.
Right.
He's been a regular guest on the MedicCast over the years, and he's got a brand new mobile app to help people get and stay fit in the Fit Responder realm of things. So I'm really excited to talk to him about that and see what he's up to. I'm going to be talking about end-of-life issues and EMS. There was an article recently in The Atlantic that was talking about whose responsibility is it to tell a patient and their family that they're dying or they're imminently dying. And it's this whole idea of medicine taking heroic efforts when there's really no need to anymore.
Right.
So who's going to tell the family? And it talks about doctors, but I think that falls to paramedics sometimes too. We show up at somebody's house and there's nothing we can do. How do we handle that? So I'm actually going to be having Tom Boothelet on to talk about that, and a couple other folks that are that reached out to me and sent me the article to begin with. So we're going to be talking specifically about how paramedics fit into that whole end of life discussion, which is very difficult, not something they teach us in school.
Right.
We're calling people in the field, so we have no choice.
Right.
We need to give them those skills.
Yeah, but maybe it's even more than that. It's arriving on scene and going, this person's in hospice, and what can we do to help this person and help the family, more importantly,
they
to get to that
next
point. Very good point. Very good point.
Well, and that's where, you know, we have to talk about how we work with medical control, how we work within and without our protocols. There are ways to work outside of protocols officially,
right,
if you have to, using medical control. That's what they're there for. So we need to be able to communicate effectively. We need to be able to talk about the specific things that we're looking at with the patient so that the doctor on the other end can be confident in giving us the advice that we need to do the right thing.
Right.
Otherwise, we end up working patients that we should not be doing what we're doing to them.
Well, and also giving us the skills too to tell the physician on the other end, hey, doc, this, you know, outlining it correctly so that they have a good picture since they're not there.
And they're usually really good about trying to do what the family would want done.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also something else exciting here, and I'm not going to let you off the hook. You have a new book.
I do.
Yes.
I do. I can't wait
to talk about it. I was going to say that if you didn't.
I know.
Sam actually edited it for me. She was my editor. And she fixed some things that needed to be fixed that I didn't even realize. So a little bit later on, after we record this segment, I'm actually going to be recording another segment with you where you're going to interview me for a change.
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting being the interviewee rather than the interviewer.
Thank you.
And ask me about the book. So
I think so.
We're going to do that after this segment. But yeah. I had an idea for a novel rattling around in my head for a couple of years, and I finally got it written out, first draft, and I'm working on the second draft already for the second book.
And it is so much fun. I got to edit that, and if you're here at the show, we have these little cards that you can learn about it and learn out where to find it, and you have to get those.
Yeah,
it is,
definitely.
It's awesome.
Definitely. You can get it signed by the author.
Yes.
Yeah.
As long as they
ask. And I see people picking up the cards right now and saying, hey, this looks like it's a really great book.
It's a good book.
I didn't write it or anything.
He wrote it. No. No, we don't.
So across from us, AMR has a booth.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time I've ever seen them have a booth on a national show.
It is.
And that is an awesome ambulance.
And I'm going to be looking at that ambulance. Sam, they've got an ambulance on display with all sorts of safety measures built
into
it.
Very high-end safety that AMR created for their people. And
that's something we've been talking about for years, and it seems like things are finally starting to click. There were some sort of stopgap safety measures being put in place.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see what they've got in there that makes it the safest ambulance on the road.
Well, and I think we have some issues, too, as we look at the manufacturers now. Ford no longer makes a diesel cutaway van front. Chevy is ending that this year. So all you have left are Dodge and Sprinter. And so it's going to be interesting to see how we move into this van market with or without diesel and if it actually takes off.
This one is much more fuel efficient. So
right,
for a large company, that could be huge in terms of
that
dollars.
Can make a big difference. Right.
Well, the Sprinters always were. They were getting 22 miles a gallon. So it'll be interesting to see as we go through this. I've seen a few of these Dodges on the floor.
It's too bad we can't bring it over here and show it to you.
We'll show them on the B-roll.
Maybe we can get some cutaway video of it, and we'll show it in there, and I'll fit it into this episode.
Perfect.
So we can do that. So there's some things going on, and I've just been looking at the schedule of other events that are happening here. Dr. Ed Rock said to me something that was very provocative, and I'm just going to throw it out there to the two of you. Not that he's never not provocative. I mean, he usually is. But he actually made the comment that ALS and BLS, is it time to get rid of the distinction?
I think it's... I think the part of that that's brilliant is the fact that we've said it before on our shows. We should all be called paramedics. Now, if we take that to the extreme, yeah, it's paramedicine. It's a body of knowledge that we all do, and there can be a rainbow of colors in that, or a spectrum, if you will, of the person that's right at the beginning all the way through the most advanced person through community paramedicine or critical care, whatever it is. So it's interesting. It's an interesting concept.
And here's the premise he gave to me, and I'll kind of spell it out for the two of you and see what you think. Intranasal Narcan, is it an ALS or a BLS skill?
Maybe the point is it doesn't matter. Maybe that's what you're
saying. Exactly.
It depends on where you are. In some places, your neighbor can do it. Right? It's not even a medical skill. It's a life-saving skill, just like an EpiPen is.
Glucometer. It makes me crazy because my BLS firefighters, who may be there with the patient for several minutes, can't check a blood sugar.
Your average four-year-old can check their own blood sugar.
Thank you.
Right? Your average diabetic four-year-old can do it themselves.
That is
so why can't that be a BLS skill?
Because going into the skin is an ALS skill. Excuse me, let's get real.
Okay, you're right. Okay. I mean if I as an EMT can start an IV and give something that's going to change the course of that patient.
Thank you.
I think that they should be able to check sugar. Anyway, beyond that, I think it's a very provocative point.
So it comes down to what's best for the patient given the resources you have, BLS or ALS.
We'll get rid of that term now.
Do we raise the bar somehow for education? And we come back around to it, education and versus training.
Right.
And where do we fit into that model?
Always seems to come back to that, doesn't it?
And I had a discussion with somebody earlier today over breakfast who's in the education field and provides resources and tools to colleges and academy programs. And his comment was that we learn a body of skills, but why aren't we more like the nursing side of things that learns critical thinking and relies on their eventual employer to teach them the bulk of that body of skills, because every hospital has different heart IV pumps, every hospital has different ventilators. Teaching somebody how to use one product in school is not going to prepare them to run that product in the field. They're going to have to relearn it again.
Yeah, and it has to be brand agnostic, is I think what you're trying to go with, and I agree with that. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I like the premise.
We're talking about changing a culture, though. And EMS culture is very entrenched. So getting people to buy off on that will be difficult, regardless of how much sense it makes.
But we've seen change. We talked about the changes in safety. It used to be we were expendable. Now it seems like that's gone away to a certain extent. We're seeing more lift assist devices.
Yes.
We're seeing more safety tools built into the ambulance to keep us safer during transport. So there is a change in that culture, and it's just taking
slowly moving. Yes.
Well, and so on the idea of change, this is the second year that EMS World Expo is hosting the Integrated Health Forum.
Yay.
I think we should try and get Ann on at some point to talk about that. But what I think they did this year was cool is they brought in people that aren't paramedics and the normal doctors. It's CEOs and home care nurses. And I mean, it's a broad spectrum of integrated healthcare. Smart. I mean, really, that's what this should be about.
Right?
Exactly. So they're doing that over the next 2 days. And I think it'll be interesting to see some of the results from that as we move forward.
Yeah, well, that's a whole field that's just...
Well, and it's the concept of integrated healthcare. And this is something that your people that are checking out the show here maybe aren't aware of it, but inside the hospital, they've been tearing silos down.
Right.
They've been saying doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists and radiology and everything, we're going to work together in a team approach towards patient care. The pharmacists, the lab consultants, the technicians, and everybody are going to work together and provide a team approach. And anybody in the team can say something that might need to impact patient care, patient safety. And what we'd like to see is the giant silo that is the hospital come down so that EMS can start being brought into that picture. And I think that's what integrated healthcare is starting to do.
So something provocative then, that what Ed Rock said, would be important. So if we tear down this idea of ALS and BLS, and people can say, your partner, whoever that is, whatever piece of spectrum they have, they go, I don't know that you're doing the right thing for that patient. They should be able to speak up. We should all be able to speak up. And that maybe that's another way we take this too as providers into the future. Kind of cool.
And we're going to talk, speaking of that, on integrated field training.
Okay.
Nice. I really am serious, and this is what we do at Urban Shield, and we're going to talk about that. Cops, firefighters, EMS.
Hospital.
Bomb guys, hospital people. We get residents from our local teaching hospital involved in this so they can understand our side. I think it's invaluable. So there's another part of the interaction that needs to happen and some more silos that need to come down.
And we talk about that on the disaster podcast all the time with the concept of active shooter drills and things like that really needs to include the entire healthcare system in any kind of mass casualty or disaster situation.
Right.
So that the hospital's included in the training and process. So they understand what the police are doing, what the EMS is doing, what fire is doing, and they all come together so that they drill together and train together. So when these events that seem to be happening more and more frequently occur, we are prepared to better take care of patients and hopefully have a higher survival rate.
They seem to happen on a daily basis anymore. And I love it when we get docs and we get nurses and they really understand our world a little bit better. It's all good.
It does help. It does help when they know what we're doing in the family.
And they understand our, you know, when they're in their well-controlled environment and we're 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold, dark alley with some patient, it's like, what's taking you so long? Well, come out and see.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to have some things coming up in this episode, in future episodes that people are going to see of all these shows. We already talked about some of that. We'll have our finale episode.
Absolutely.
So each of the three of us are going to have a pick of the product
always like that
has become the innovative thing that we want to talk about this year. And so I know we all are very different in what we end up finding.
I know.
Which is fun.
I know.
Kind
it's
of
funny.
Well, none of
it's
us
funny.
Have yet found the same thing. Have you noticed that?
And we don't tell each other.
Good point. No.
Throughout
we
the week, it's kind of fun.
It's just like, hey, I got this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, maybe mine will be this.
Oh,
that would be nice.
Oh, wow. So one last thing. I did something yesterday. I need to admit to.
Uh-oh.
I took the hardest test of my life.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah. So.
You should have seen him.
Oh, I was a wreck yesterday. So
so set this up for us. So this is a brand new certification test that they're piloting.
Yep. So the BCC-TPC, so BCCTPC.org, that'll be here, which is the Board of Critical Care Transport something something. There's two other letters in there. Anyway,
CP.
They're the ones that are responsible for the flight paramedic test, the critical care ground paramedic test, tactical paramedic test. And it was about 3 years ago, Ann and I were in a show, and I found John Clark, and I'm like, hey, I'm Chris, and I want to, would you guys ever do a community paramedic test? And they're like, don't know, does it, maybe it kind of fits with our mission, we don't know. So 3 years later, and a lot of hard work by Ann and a bunch of other people, put together a test. Dr. Swayze, Dr. Baxter Larman, there's a bunch of great people that went into writing this test, and it was literally the hardest test of my life. It was so hard. And Ann's like, well, when you took the education course, did you really pay attention? I'm like, no, because I wasn't really going to use it, because I'm not very clinical anymore. But what it showed to me, though, is you can't just learn this by picking it up on the street. It's definitely a skill set and a knowledge base that you're going to have to get through education. Dr. Myers.
Dr. Myers, hi, stopping in the podcast studio.
So it was a very hard test, 125 questions on a breadth of knowledge that...
Lab values.
Yep. Oh, my God. It sounds like a nursing level. Because there's another silo that's being broken.
It's a
community
home care
paramedicine
level.
And nursing are coming right. Very close together.
If we're going to leave a patient in the home, we need to be able to confidently say their lab values are stable. If we're going to test for that.
Right.
Some places are going to start testing for that with tools like the iStat and things like that. So we need to be able to, that community paramedic, which somebody actually said to me was, they called it a paramedic practitioner.
I know, it scares you. No, you know why? Because there's a nurse sitting over there that'll slap us. Because here's the reason
but
why
it,
I don't call it
that. It means that higher level of training, whether it's advanced paramedic
it's
or
the definition
what do you call
of
it?
Practitioner. Yeah, a lot of people consider that advanced.
That's
practice.
A higher degree. Yeah. And that I would think if we could get to a master's or a doctorate level, I think that's completely appropriate. And I know that that's what they're doing. They're moving toward Australia.
Someday.
UK has advanced practice paramedics today, but they're PhD level. They're not some dude that went and took a 6-month course.
No, they're highly trained, research-oriented, medical experts in their field.
And they're actually they're paramedic consultants. You could use any one of number of terms.
So
if you're out in the field and there are any one day of the week, there's about 5,000 paramedics on the streets of London, you call in and you get one of 3 or 4 paramedic consultants, and they're the ones that tell you what you do in a certain scenario. So you're not calling a physician, you're calling the paramedic consultant. It's
who knows,
crazy.
Who understands what you're doing, why you're doing it, why you're doing it. He's not some resident who's never been in the back of an ambulance before and doesn't know what you're trying to deal with.
He can barely suture a guy in the ER, let alone tell you what to do.
Know your protocols.
Right, exactly.
They're supposed to, doc in the box, right? They're supposed to have studied the protocols, but maybe they aren't, they haven't, and they're not comfortable with saying yes to any answer to a very reasonable question request.
Right.
So they just say no because they don't want to do the wrong thing.
So anyway, community paramedic is the name of the test. It's the name of the certification that will be coming out. There were 35 people that took the test, the beta test this week. We need about 50 to validate it, so we're going to get a few more people to take it over the week.
It
was community health assessment. It was assessing your patient. It's what do you do in these type of scenarios. It's recognizing elder abuse. It's homelessness. It was the amount of knowledge on that test was
blew me away. So it's a good point, though. If you're going to get into community paramedicine, take it seriously. And it is a very different scope of practice than what you're used to in the field.
Different scope of education.
Different culture, different education, all of it.
Well, and that's because we sit here and we say, well, I'm the person that is responsible for taking patient from point A to point B. In the middle of that time frame, I am to keep them alive. That's how EMS started, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the very basic level, the traditional EMS model. But we already have acknowledged over the last 10 years and more that a lot of those patients don't need to go to the hospital.
Exactly.
But more and more frequently that is the case. And so what do we do with these people?
Right.
When we know in our heart of hearts they don't need to go to the hospital, they just need somebody to say to them, you're going to be okay, here's what we're going to do, let me connect you with this resource or that resource. And that's the direction we're heading.
Right.
And that, so it needs to be this higher level of knowledge, the specialized area of paramedic, that maybe is the, and the thing I like about it, Chris, and I don't know if you've seen this or thought, I'm sure you have, thought about this, that this gives paramedics yet another level to aspire to.
Yeah.
Because somebody made the comment to me, you know, you can be a 22-year-old paramedic and you've gone as far as you'll ever go.
Yeah.
Right. That's a very good point. Honestly, there were two reasons why when we came up with this
crazy concept in 09 to do this. It was, one is to advance our profession. I mean, I believe in what we do. I know what we do is right, and we can advance it. We can give ourselves another career ladder step. Because being 45 or whatever, I don't want to wake up at 2 a.m. anymore or be awake all night. And then the other one is, in rural areas in the United States, we have a place where there aren't places for people to get resources. There aren't home care nurses. There aren't all of these vast things that, even in the city, you would think that you would have that, but you don't either. So it's another place for us to practice and fill gaps and really take on other roles and responsibilities that, quite frankly, nobody else is doing.
Oh, and the other part of that is, health systems don't work when everybody goes to the ER.
Right.
It doesn't need to go to the ER.
Right.
And our state, California, has recognized that, and they realize they're going to have to change some regulations to make this work. Paramedic-initiated refusals, alternate care, like you were saying, if they don't need to,
right.
You know, if they are elder problems, if they're social services, if they need alcohol or substance abuse problems, whatever it is, send them to the right place. The systems are too impacted. In one of the counties I work in, we have two-hour wall times. We cannot get these ambulances out of the ERs because they don't have any place to put these people. That's got to change, and that's the kind of thing that'll change it, by giving us alternatives.
And there's so many places that the underserved population is happening. I know recently I looked at a news article coming out of LA that the LA Police Department is instituting a program where they're working with mental health professionals in the city to stop treating mental health issues as problems that either need to go to jail or need to go to the hospital.
Right.
Thank you.
If you've got a homeless person who's having a crisis, let's look at crisis management in place,
right,
rather than say, well, if they're in crisis, they need to go to the ER. They
right.
need to go to the ER. Maybe they just need somebody to recognize they're having a problem, get them a hot meal, and sit down and talk to them a little bit.
Right.
And paramedics aren't empowered to do that. Police haven't been empowered to do that. So apparently they're implementing a program, or have implemented a program, where they're working with public health and mental health professionals to actually run targeted teams to go out in groups and say, as a team, mental health professional and a police officer, let us help you.
Right.
We have a program like that in Alameda County that our people at EMS, one of which will be here today, because she's very people-centric and wants to help people. And it's looking at elderly homeless,
okay,
and
right.
bringing them in, giving them a safe place to go, doing a huge evaluation on what their needs are, and providing those needs. So I'd love to see that expand.
Nice.
So there's ideas out there. It's just time and money and resources to make them happen.
So enough said on that. But I think that, you know, all I got to say, last little bit of that test is, you can't read a book and pass that test. You've got to go get
or
more
education.
Or
do an online course.
Well, there are online college courses for it, but without the actual practice,
too.
It was brutal. So, and that's what we wanted
like
it to be hard, and that was
yeah.
the point.
Well, if we're going to have this be an advanced upper level, you know, something that a paramedic who's been on the street for a few years and wants to aspire to do something different in their community, it should be something that they have to reach out for and do a little bit more with.
Right.
So I completely agree.
Cool.
So,
so
this is just some
first.
Of what we're going to be talking about. There's going to be a lot of buzz about that test, I know, coming up. And the other things we talk about here all week. So you want to stay tuned to whatever channel you're watching this episode on, whether it's through the EMS Garage, the Disaster Podcast, or over at the Medicast. All of these episodes will be posted over at promednetwork.com so that you can find them there, and then maybe link off of that to find the original programs they go with, and check out the rest of the shows over those sites.
By the way, though, this is like the coolest show on Roku, period.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love it on Roku. I'll sit there and like, man, it's good. It's actually great content on a Roku, and
yeah,
I can watch it.
You have to get one of those.
Oh,
yeah.
It's great.
Get the set-top
great.
Box and get the channel, ProMed Network channel, and then you can get all the conferences. Every conference we send somebody to, if they send me video, I post it on that channel.
Yep.
Usually it's me or some semblance, a group of us.
Cool.
And we post it up there so that people can get access to it. And it's just us talking to some of the best and brightest in healthcare about different topics having to do with healthcare. So look forward
cool.
to that. So Sam, where can folks find you?
Social media, Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11, or on my site for my podcast, disasterpodcast.com.
Chris, how about you?
Geeky Medic on all the social media websites, including Instagram. No. My daughter recently got off Facebook, so I have to use Instagram more. So there you go.
No, that's all the cool kids are on Instagram now.
Apparently. You know, what did I know?
They found out their parents were on Facebook.
This is my mom's on Facebook, so I got it.
Yes, that's why we're on Instagram now. We have to do that. So I'm on PodMedic on most of those places, so PodMedic, and reach me on all social media channels there, and of course over at promednetwork.com. We want to thank Physiocontrol for continued support of the podcast studio. Check out some of the exciting things that we're going to be putting out on this channel about what they're up to. They've got some an interesting acquisition they just announced, and we'll be talking about that later on, and also an interesting product that they are going to be the exclusive distributors for in the U.S., and we'll be talking about that as well. So stay tuned for that. Thank you over at Physiocontrol for helping us to put this show on every time we go to a conference.
Yeah, really, and hit us up on social media. We want to keep in touch with you guys, anybody here at the show or even not here at the show, to see what you're thinking about what we're doing.
You have to come to one of these conferences.
You do.
If you look at this and you say, wow, I wish I could have been there to see that or handle that product, well, then plan to be in New Orleans next year.
We learned
so much.
That's
what we say. Or make it to another conference, maybe a state conference if you can't make it to the national conference. It's important that you go to these things because this is where you not only get to check out the latest and greatest in tools for your job, but you also get to meet amazing people. And I've said many times, it's going to be the guy next to you in the coffee line at Starbucks when you go to one of these conferences that's going to be the person that has the biggest change in your career. Because you're going to meet the chief of some department who's going to like you enough to want to hire you from where you are or offer you an opportunity that you didn't know was out there.
Right. Very cool.
Very true.
Well, thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Why don't you take us out?
Oh, God. Well, wow, I didn't know I was going to
have
to
do that. Do you want me to do it?
No, I'll do it. I got it. Well, thank you, and watch more of these videos right here on the ProMedNetwork.com. I'm Chris Montero for Jamie Davis, Sam Bradley, and all of our team here at EMS World Expo 2015 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks, and keep watching more content on this great channel.